Would you kindly turn with me to the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 6. The Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 6. Verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or full growth, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, and the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit. Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Now, I'd love to read an Old Testament passage to you in the second book of Kings, please, and chapter 2. The second book of Kings, and in chapter 2. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, as they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all our souls. I think for me this will be remembered as the conference of short meetings. There is one thing we'll have been taught, the art of brevity. Maybe that's a very good thing. I would love to speak to you this afternoon in the minutes that are left on the subject of spiritual maturity. There is not an epistle that is written in the New Testament whereby we could not go to prove that each of the writers has in mind for the flock spiritual maturity. It ought to be the desire of every Christian soul that they would come to a measure of Christian maturity. Come to a point of full growth in Christ. Now, when the writer to the Hebrews addresses them, he says to them, Beloved, I am persuaded of better things of you. That is, that while Paul had a whole host of things to say, or if Paul is the writer, we'll not deal with that, but if he is the writer, he has got great confidence in these Hebrew believers. And I want to take you very briefly, and it affects me that I've just to keep pressing and controlling and keep weeding out and all that. But I want to draw your attention to how two people came to maturity at the same time. That is that in Elijah's rapture, we see the moment of his greatest triumph. And in the same hour, we find his young friend coming to maturity. In the hour that he was taken to heaven, his young friend came to spiritual maturity as well. You know, Elijah was a very sad man. Most elders today are sad men. Things are not what they were in their day. And things are not what they were when they got them. That may not always be their fault. But things have vastly changed. Elijah was a disappointed man because he thought his ministry would bring about the recovery of the nation from Baal worship. And on Mount Carmel, where God vindicated him, and where God really stood by him in the face of those 450 prophets, with 400 standing on the sidelines, he thought the nation would be recovered to God. And because they weren't, he went into a fit of depression that possibly he never was to come out of all the rest of his life. You know, in that story, and I can't go into it all, in that story, God had a number of lessons to tell him. He had about 10 years to live. And his friend Elisha had 10 years to pour water on his hands. In that fit of depression, God takes him to the Mount of God. And at the Mount of God, God teaches him something that was difficult for him to learn. And I want to speak to men that are mature. There are certain things that are difficult to learn. And the two things that God taught Elijah were these. Elijah, I have many means through which I can work. You might think that the earthquake, the whirlwind, and the fire is the only means that I can use to touch my people. But he says, I have the means of a still small voice. I have many means. I would love to encourage every soul in this place that omnipotence hath servants everywhere. I am bound in what I can do. I have limitations. You have them too. There's limitations in the elders. There's limitations in the saints. There's terrible limitations in the preachers. There's limitations in the family life. What is God saying to him? He's saying, I am unlimited. I cannot be bound by place, nor people, nor time. I am the sovereign Lord. May I repeat to this audience what it means, a sovereign Lord? It means that God can do what he likes, where he likes, when he likes, through whom he likes, at whatever time he likes, and in whatever place he likes. That is the meaning of sovereign Lord. He says to Elijah, grateful for your service, but you have a very limited view of me. One of the catastrophes of our day is that we have men amongst us who have a limited view of our God. God can move anywhere, at any time, any place. He is the sovereign Lord. God is not just in the wild, lightning, fire, and whirlwind and tempest.
God is speaking in mighty ways, not only breaking up jails, not only disturbing a Philippian prison and shaking an ungodly jailer. At the same time, God was shaking the whole of Europe and about to do it with the dynamic of God and the gospel. At the same time, he's awakening in the heart of Lydia by the still small voice, whose heart the Lord opened. There are some people amongst us, and if people don't get saved the way they got saved, that's them written off. You know, my friend, God has got many ways of touching people's hearts. There's a most salutary lesson in coming to full growth. Not only that God has got many means, but God has got other men. Oh, this is going to touch him. This is going to touch the conference. This is going to touch the preachers here. This is going to touch the conference committee. To someone, would you address the conference committee? This is going to touch the correspondent and the elders and everyone. I have not only many, many means, but I've got many men. He says, you'll go and you'll appoint Hazael king over Syria. You'll go and appoint Jehu the son of Nimshi king over Israel. You'll go and appoint Elisha the son of Shaphat in thy stead. Would you be happy to vacate your position? Would you have given your place to any of the other speakers today? There's a man in the mind of God. God's got him. The wisdom of an old man comes out. He doesn't go and see Hazael, king of Syria. He doesn't go and find out rough-riding Jehu. He rushes to see the man that's his successor. And where does he find him? He finds him behind two oxen, plowing. I'm sure you're not looking for your successors behind a pair of old oxen. I can tell you that. You're looking for some accountant or some clerk or someone clever or someone well-heeled. God's got many men. And God's got many means. And when he found them, there was 12 men on the field. And 24 oxen. And the man that was God's choice was the last. And no one saw the mantle over him. There was no big commendation meeting. There was no tea or party. And the cry from the heart of the old man, what have I done unto thee? What he's saying is this, I've taken you from peaceful plowing. I've taken you from the happiness of your mother and father's home. I've taken you from securities. I've taken you from prosperity. And now you're going into the prophetic office to be cried, old bald head, to be maligned, to be shamed, to become the offscouring of the earth. Don't you take the work of God lightly. Don't you think you'll go to the brethren and ask for a letter of commendation? They want to see men that'll go all the way to Gilgal. Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. Elijah says, I must go to Gilgal. Stay here. He says, oh, listen to this. He knew that his master would be taken from his head that day. You know, Elijah knew that morning when he rose that he was never going to sleep on earth again. I wonder if you knew your last day was upon you. Man, I know you'd be rushing down Vancouver to get the lawyer seen to and get things all squared up. I wonder if this was your last day on earth. What would you be thinking about? He says, I must go unto Gilgal. You know, Gilgal is the place where Gilgal is the place where they came to after the land, and they couldn't make any progress till they went through Gilgal. You know, progress and spiritual maturity, you come to Gilgal, but Gilgal is a very painful place to be in. It's the place where the knife is sharp and where the flesh is cut and where there's pain and discomfort. We would love to travel from the upper room to the open tomb of Jesus, wouldn't we? I would. Let me talk for myself. I would have loved my life a good deal easier than I found it. I would love to be on the upper room above the street level. And I would love to live in the victory and power of an open grave. But life has taught me this. There's a Gethsemane to go through. For the olive grove and the sweat and the grief and the cry, not thy will but mine be done. I would love to escape. I would love to go to escape the Kedron with all its filth and all its garbage. I would love to miss it. I would love to miss out the Calvary Road and the pain and the Via de la Rosa and the awful shame of the gate and the awful shame of the cross. Says Elisha, I'll go to Gilgal with you, young man. If ever you're going to take up anything for God, you'll have to suffer pain. It's not a thing a young man wants, and it's not a thing you want to pray for. But if ever there's going to be anything in your ministry, for weight in ministry is more important than words. And weight comes through pain and suffering and subjugation of the flesh. He says, and they two went together. I love the way he spoke to Elijah. He didn't speak about old McFeet and old this and old that. He says, I pray thee. Beautiful language. Spiritual people use beautiful language about their elders and about the preachers. Oh, I know that we can be condemned, but spiritual people use beautiful language. I pray thee. I must go to Bethel. Oh, say someone, this will be cheerier. Oh, it is. But it's hard pillows. Notice it's pillows in the plural. It's hard pillows at Bethel. Oh, there's progress, but there's hard pillows. There's views of angels and the Lord at the top of the ladder. All that's true, but before he got there were hard stone pillows to lie on. Spiritual maturity isn't being able to put 17 P's together and G's together and 3 S's together. That's not spiritual progress. You get that out of Roger's thesis or something. That's not progress. Progress. It's hard pillows, sad nights, difficult problems, horns. Horns of difficulties and dilemmas that you can't answer. But getting a little view of God and being encouraged to go on, even to live with a man like Laban for another 20 years without a fault in his life. Lovely, really. I must go to Jericho. What is Jericho? Is there anything about full growth in Jericho? Oh, yes. Jericho is the teaching of patience. Patience isn't something that marks young people. By the way, I'm not saying that I'm fully convinced that patience marks old people either. But what I am saying is this, that patience is round the city, blowing the ram's horns. I would love to blow silver trumpets all the time, but ram's horns, there's no beauty in a ram's horn.
You can hardly do a thing with it. But blowing ram's horns, making yourself look silly, and going round. You know, this was the big meetings. Priests, the ark, the ram's horns, 7 days laughed at and scorned down from the mighty walls of those of Jericho. Patience to go round and patience to wait. Then the mighty work was done. Oh, progress and maturity is linked with different things that we think. We think it's getting on to the oversight, getting out in the work and things like that. That's not what it's about at all. Pain and difficulty and sorrow, developing your manhood, giving you discernment, getting away from the milk and onto the meat. Enjoying Christ in your soul and coming to a more touchy point. It's Jordan. You can't go over the Jordan without faith. And nothing is operative in the work of God without faith. And so they went over the Jordan. Was there someone I would like to know how that Elisha became mature as Elijah the same day? Well, it's quite like this, that Elijah's last miracle was dividing the Jordan. Elisha's first miracle was dividing the Jordan. Now, I want to come. I've only 5 minutes. It is impossible sometimes for young people to grasp. And the way that it's preached from these platforms of ours, it's as if the young people could never be like the old men. Now, I am one that don't subscribe to that belief. I believe that God is capable of infilling and infusing young men and young women to carry on the present testimony for God. I believe that if we were given over to God and the things of God, do you believe that God is more care for the testimony than you have? Do you mean to tell me that you've been happy with your progress, dear brother? I mean, it wouldn't take the young people to be very spiritual to be better than us. Don't be smug. Don't think you've arrived at it. I appeal to the young men and the young women in this meeting. I look at them both, for both can be holy in Peter's epistle. Holy men and holy women. Take time. Don't be afraid of the pain. Put your face into the wind of affliction. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do the right thing by God. And leave the outcomes with God. Don't be insolent. Don't be forward. Don't be cheeky. Don't be marked by egotisticalism or anything like that. It does nothing to the credit of God's truth. But be firm and faithful to God. Here's a solitary man waiting on his exodus. Are you waiting on yours? What would be in your mind if you were going away home today? Tell you one thing, he had big thoughts for others before he went away. He's going home to heaven, and home to comfort, and home to joy. He says to his young friend, what would you like? What could I do for you? What is your desire? What's your prayer? What would you like most of all in life? You know, he didn't need to see his father. He didn't need to see mommy and daddy and the elders or see his little clique that he moves amongst. Just like that. He knew what he wanted. A double portion of thy spirit. Now, I know there's many interpretations. I want to give you one. Elijah, I would love to be doubly spiritual as you have been. I would like twice the power that you have had. It's all right, isn't it? Nobody would fib with that. Or is he saying in his heart, I would love
to bless the people of God twice as much as you bless them.
I would love to further them.
Young men, I say this to you today. Forget everything else if you haven't got the good of the sinners that you preach to.
And you have not got the love of the people of God in your heart. Then you can forget it.
A double portion of thy spirit. Every promise in the Bible is conditional. He says, if you see me when I go up, it shall be so. And if not, it shall not be so. What he's saying is, if your eye is on the ascending man, if you keep your eye on the man that's going up, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so. You know, really, therein lies the secret of life. Therein lies the secret of maturity. Not your eye on brother so-and-so, or his style, or his ways, or his pet beliefs, but your eye on the man that's gone on high. The man that's ascended right up into the presence of God. Keep your eye not on the earth, not among the sons of the prophets, not on the depressive Israel. Keep your eye on the man that's gone on high. If you see me when I go up, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so. And then came the chariot and the fire. And he goes up, and it says, Elijah saw him. And he saw the mantle drop. And he took his own clothes, and he split them in two pieces. He didn't want to be known as Elisha anymore. He didn't want... He had grown up, you see. He had got a new suit now. He had grown up into maturity. And he took Elijah's mantle. And he went to the river, just where his father... But didn't he call him my father? Lovely language, isn't it? Lovely language of appreciation of older brethren. You ever notice the brethren that come up here that have any worth? They're always talking about the value of older brethren. How they appreciate their older brethren. He takes it, and he smites the water. And he doesn't say, you know, the 50 sons of the prophets, they're of great nuisance value in the chapter. Great nuisance value. And he has to have tremendous patience with them. That's needed too. But he doesn't cry, where is Elijah? They're crying, where is Elijah? But he cries, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He knows where Elijah is. It's the Lord God of Elijah that he wants. Let me sit down. I'm 1 minute over the time. I know I'm forgiven already. I hope so. What I want to say to you is that as he came forward unto the sons of the prophets, notice what they said. The spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. May the Lord bless his word.